play for a great organization like the New York Giants, you take pride in the history of the organization. All the great players, all the great games that have been played.
I think every day when you walk in here and you see the pictures, Hall of Fame players, coaches, front office staff, the tradition is thick here, and you have to live up to that expectation, not just on game day. You got to live up to that every day in the way you conduct your life and the way that you approach football.
This is what you work all offseason for. This is why you lift all them weights.
To be able to put that beautiful blue helmet on and represent a franchise that I grew up watching and loving. You know, it was Phil Sims and it was Lawrence Taylor. And
I think it provides this look of character, of integrity that you have to carry within yourself on a day-to-day basis.
A Super Bowl champion.
The New York Giants are the Super Bowl champions.
Here we go, here we go.
Let's dominate, let's dominate, let's get it.
Showing his feet to the 30, down to the 25, down to the 20.
90 seasons of
pride,
passion,
honor,
loyalty,
determination,
commitment,
sacrifice,
believing,
giving back,
caring,
always having your teammates back,
loving the Giants,
loving the game.
Let's have a team. 1, 2, 3.
Team!
That's better.
And we welcome you inside the Quest Diagnostics Training Center studios for Season 2 of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. 10 things to get you set for the Giants' upcoming game as the Giants open their season against the Lions in Detroit on Monday night. I'm Bob Papa, and I've got my team by my side once again for year number 2. A member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, captain for life, Harry Carson. Harry, good to have you back. 2-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks. And Roman Oben, who started his career with the Giants and is also a Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, let's take a look at the menu for today's show. We'll be joined by Giants head coach Tom Coughlin in the studio. You don't want to miss that. We send Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room to hear from some of the key players in the matchup for Monday night. We'll be joined in studio by one of the new faces, Giants running back Rashad Jennings. We also have Pat Hanlon joining us again for our online segment, our roundtable with some of the beat writers for the New York Giants, Paul Schwartz and Art Stapleton, this week. And we have a new feature this year on the show. It's called the Big Blue Challenge, a weekly contest with my co-host to see who's most dialed in to the Big Blue. But item number 1 goes up on the board. It's called No Huddle. And this is where I get to test the acumen of my expert co-host. And we're going to put the clock up 25 seconds.
Sense of timing.
25 seconds for Harry Carson. And Harry, obviously you're dialing in to this football team, but what do you think the big key is for the Giants this year?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the big key is Eli Manning, to whom much is given, much is expected. And Eli has a new offense. He has an upgraded offensive line. He has receivers. He has a decent running attack, I believe. He has a defense. It comes down to Eli Manning performing to his maximum this year. If he does not perform this year, the Giants need to go forward in another direction.
All right. Very good, Harry. And just a couple seconds
Smidge.
Over.
What can I say?
It's the captain for life. He gets to do that. All right, Carl
summer.
Banks, 25 seconds on the clock for you as you look at both of these teams in transition.
Well, yeah, when you look, you hear a lot about the Giants' offense. Is it clicking? Do you know what it's going to be? It's about efficiency, but when you look at the Detroit Lions, they have a new offense, a new defense, and all new staff. So they're going through the same thing, too. So the key will be which team is as efficient as can be on Monday night.
Ooh, Carl kept it in under the clock. Roman, can you top that as you dial into the Giants' offense?
Well, going back to offense, you know, we've talked a lot about throughout the preseason about them grasping the concept of this West Coast offense, the coaching changes, the changes in the backfield, the new identities up front. But it has to go back to the guys that break the huddle, the 11 guys that say, what are our expectations to go out there on a road, hostile environment, all that stuff, and go out there and take a victory. You have to have the expectations of the guys in the huddle, no matter what the coaching staff, the organization takes. That's where the accountability is.
All right. Roman makes it in right on the clock. Harry, are you buying what they're selling offensively about the fact that it was just preseason and it's a new system, even though their passing game looked a little disjointed?
I'll buy it right now because I know that when you bring in a new system, it takes a little while for, you know, people to catch up with what needs to be done, you know, moving forward. So, you know, I'll give them, you know, the preseason, maybe a game or two. But I think in the third, fourth game, they need to really be clicking.
Carl, this is something that you and Harry, I know, will love to dial into during the course of the year. But the Giants look like they have a really good linebacking core with Jameel McClain being signed, John Beeson coming back from injury, and then Devon Kennard, the rookie out of USC, looks like a real player to go with Jaquan Williams.
Yeah, Jaquan Williams is the biggest improvement. You saw from year one to where he is now. He's made an improvement along with the additions that they've added to this defense. And that will help this offense also. And Harry knows a lot about how defenses have helped offenses until they've gotten along. He used to tell a lot of stories about, you know, how defenses had to hold the fort.
Yeah, and that's what happened in 86 when you guys won your first Super Bowl, especially in the first half of the year. Roman, I want to dial into the offensive line again with you because you played the position. Talk about Weston Richburg. Here's a second-round pick who's come in and seems to be well beyond his years as far as playing. But now it changes a little bit on Monday night.
Well, it does, and now he's got to go in with the confidence of all the things he's done well to this point. Coming out of college, he started 44 games. He's leadership. So that's what they brought into the picture, hoping that if he started opening day, which now he is, he's going to have to bring all that experience and hard work on Monday night.
All right, we're just getting rolling here on Giants First and 10. Here's a look at the airings of Giants First and 10 throughout the course of the weekend. If you miss it during the first airing, be sure to catch it. It airs twice on Saturdays on the MSG networks and also will air again on Sunday. Make sure you check it out. The head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, coming up as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG.
Come on, get the pads going now. Get the pads going. Hey, can we block somebody? Just somebody. Get up in there. Get up in there. That's a pillow fight. You do realize there are pads on. Good job. That's better. Better. On the ball, on the ball, on the ball, on the ball. Go, go, go. Hit it, hit it, hit it. There you go.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, getting set for the Giants and the Lions on Monday Night Football. Time for item number two, and we welcome in the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin. And coach, I know it's been a long preseason. Camp started early. You've got to be really excited to finally get into this thing for real on Monday night.
Well, we are. But to be honest with you, I'm glad we had the long preseason because we needed it. We needed it. We have a lot of new bodies, a lot of new faces, a lot of new people, and they all have to be integrated into this concept of team. And the more time we had, the better off I hope we are in approaching this season. And to start on Monday night, it's quite an exciting thing.
Now, Coach, you talk about getting integrated to a new system. Your opponent, Monday night, has a new system, too, and they have coaches from various systems. So as you prepared this offseason, did you have to go back and look at what those systems did? Because, you know, people keep it close to the vest in the preseason.
Most definitely, Carl. We had to go back and look at Baltimore, look at New Orleans, you know, just to try to get some kind of an interpretation of what we could expect. Jim Caldwell comes in. He brings a young coach from a secondary coach from Baltimore in. He brings in a quarterback coach from New Orleans, you know, both very successful programs. He keeps John Bonamigo, the same special teams coach. So, you know, we have some degree of able to look at even our game, which was 12-22 last year, a late game. We can look at that and relate to it. But as far as the other aspects go, you know, that takes some real study and then some speculation. One of the things we did recognize, which was an obvious, was that Detroit a year ago was minus 12 in the turnover ratio, and in preseason they were plus 4. So that obviously was an objective, and they accomplished that.
Coach, one of the objectives that you had from the very start of this year was to be physical at the point of attack. One of the things during the preseason that you showed was the ability to run the football effectively. Talk about your running game and the backs and how they complement what you're looking for.
Well, the running game, we needed to get the running game going. I mean, last year, 29th in the league with all the turnovers and no balance. You know, who wants to play football like that? Nobody. And it's not New York Giant football. So we need to get back to that.
Coach, now, introducing a new offense, and you're going to see it for the first time when it counts, How big, and I know all coaches say offensive efficiency is key, but how big of an emphasis is that in terms of the penalties or the plays that kill drives and keep you from moving the ball?
Well, that's huge. You know, when you do your statistical homework, which we do, you know that drives, when an offensive team commits a penalty, it's a very rare case when they do go down and score. So, I mean, that's just number one. On the other hand, when, for example, we did not have penalties, one game, two games ago, against the Jets, we had the ball eight times in drives without penalties. We scored four out of the eight times. So those statistics are very much there. The turnovers are the other factor, you know. And what we've strived to do is to reduce the turnovers, and we had some success with that in preseason, and also to eliminate the penalties.
Coach, final question. Your 11th year as head coach of the Giants. The passion, the energy hasn't waned a bit. This is the 90th season for the New York Giants. What does it mean to you to be the head coach of this flagship franchise in a historic year like this?
Well, any year. It means a great deal to me, to my family, to the competitive aspect of the nature of where we come from and what we do for a living. But obviously to be the head coach of the New York Giants is a lifetime dream. And every year is a new year, and every year your batteries have to be replenished, and you go right back at it and try to do the best that you can for the number one franchise in the National Football League.
Coach, best of luck on Monday night. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to talking with you during the year. That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Paul Dottino goes into the Giants locker room to get a feel for this weekend's matchup with the Lions as we continue with Giants First and 10 on MSG.
Real commitment. Real determination.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Lions on Monday night. And, of course, we like to go into that Giants locker room and dig deep. And, of course, we've got our intrepid reporter, the one, the only, Paul Dottino, back to join us here for year number two. And, Paul, we put item number three up on the board. We're going to take a look at the Giants on offense.
Yeah, and we specifically have to look at that offensive line because, you know, it seems like every hour on the hour, either because of an injury or guys just not being able to get it done, they've had to jumble it and change it. Now, there's one thing these guys know, that in Detroit, they better be in sync.
We just have to communicate, be on the same page, and make sure we talk throughout the whole game and, you know, communicate whatever, what guys we have, and when they're moving around during the silent count, we got to be able to communicate with it. So.
Obviously, going on the road, you know, first game Monday night, new five guys, you know, that we've never played in a regular game together. Obviously, the preseason, but that's, you know, 30 plays tops. But I'm excited. I'm excited to go out there and play some football and show everyone we can do. Can stop answering questions about why can't we do this, why can't we do that. Go out there and show.
Now, when you look at the Giants' O-line, blocking for the run's a lot easier than blocking for the pass. The Giants averaged 135 yards a game on the ground this season. Roman, I go to you. It would seem to me that would kind of be the way you want to go to succeed.
Yeah, and let's look at this backfield. You have big physical backs now. So now the identity of this offensive line is let's win those downs, those early downs. Let's create shorter third downs, and that's with what's coming out of the backfield. And so if you don't have that mindset, when you get to third and long, those obvious passing situations on the road, you will be in trouble. So that's what they've got to do.
Yeah, and you said it correctly, Roman. It's about the physical matchups because when you look at the Detroit Lions, they know this offense. They know it. They play against it every – so now it's all about the man-on-man defeating your guy.
All right, we're going to shift gears now and go to the other side of the ball. We put item number four up on the board, and Paul – take a look at the Giants defensively in this game.
Well, you know, it's funny. We've all talked around these parts about the Giants having a new offensive coordinator. Well, guess what? The Lions do, too. A disciple of Vince Lombardi, Jim Lombardi. But there's one thing that the Giants secondary knows, and that is they're going to feature Calvin Johnson no matter who is calling the shots.
That's what they did in the past, though, you know, really utilizing him in the slot, really moving around to get different matchups. Different route combinations that they like that's going to be better fit them.
As DBs, we always just like getting our hands on the guys. And I mean, just with the heavily enforced rule with just not getting your hands on the guy past five, we're going to have to do a great job at being disciplined at that.
Now, last year, Princeton Mukamara had the draw on Johnson and did a good job. And Carl, in fact, he held him to only three catches for something like 45 yards. So what would you do this time?
Well, number one, you've got to identify early in the game, which style offense is it? Is it going to be a mixture of New Orleans and Indianapolis? You got a head coach who's been in both places. You got a coordinator who comes fresh from New Orleans. That tells you a lot about how you want to defend them. You can match up on one guy, but schematically, if it's a New Orleans Saints-style offense, the back comes into play. A lot of spot coverages you're going to have to master because they do a lot of combination routes.
And, Carl, as you know, there's this thing that, you know, their videos work, too. Their tapes work, too. Yeah. So, but with Calvin Johnson, you know, yards don't always equal points. So if he's going to get his numbers, he'll get some big catches. But that opens up the other guys, you know, Reggie Bush, the new rookie tight end, Ebron. Obviously, you know, they have another a good receiver. So if they shut him down, other guys will be open, too. So you've got to really play. Everyone's live. This is one of those types of games.
Yeah, and it's all about familiarity with the system. They've got to identify right away what type of system they're going to be playing against.
All right, Paul, pretty good stuff from that Giants locker room.
Yeah, it should be a fun game.
All right, that's Paul Dottino taking you inside the Giants locker room. We got a lot more to come here on the program. When we come back, guess what? We're going to bring you the blitz as we continue with Giants first and 10 right here on MSG.
Real blue is
real honor,
real loyalty,
real pride,
real passion,
real determination,
real sacrifice.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Still to come on the program, we'll be joined in studio by Giants running back Rashad Jennings. You don't want to miss our online segment. We get the reporters around and we'll kick around various topics. Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy. And don't forget the debut of our Big Blue Challenge. But now it's time to put item number 5 up on the board as we welcome in Anita Marks with today's edition of The Blitz. Welcome
back. We're back, gentlemen. Yes. We're back for another season. I can't wait. All right, here we go. And question number 1, while the Giants have installed a new offense under Ben McAdoo, which we've been, I'm sure, discussing the entire show, the Lions have done the same on the opposite side on defense. Here's your question. Which is tougher for a team to install, a new offense or a new defense? A minute on the clock. Discuss.
Well, I think it has to be offense because it's one of those choreographed dances that you have to do, and everyone really has to be in step. The offensive line, running backs, in terms of blitz pickups and so forth, everything is foreign and has to be learned. So I think offensively, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. Defensively, you can go out and make mistakes and still make plays. So I think it's more about the offense, having to bear the load of learning something and being able to, you know, just do it well.
I agree with Harry. Offenses are called offense because they're the adjustments. They're the proactive group, and there are different dynamics to offense, personnel, all types of things you got to get working together. Defense is reactive.
I still think it comes down to you better have good players. Regardless, because remember, Carl, I don't want to bring up a bad memory for you.
Oh, yeah.
1991, whole new defense came in.
Sure.
And you guys struggled with that.
Well, that's because you didn't have a user-friendly
and you guys are
scheme or staff.
Here we go. Number 2, Detroit wide receiver Calvin Johnson, we know him as Megatron, is coming off another Pro Bowl season, right? And 2 years removed from setting the NFL single-season record for receiving yards. I need you to fill in the blank. You ready? Calvin Johnson is the best wide receiver since blank. A minute on the clock.
I don't think he's graduated the class of his contemporaries yet. I think there are a lot. As much as I like him, there are a lot of good receivers, and he can be as dominant as any, but you can see that on a lot of different teams now. He's certainly no Randy Moss.
Well, okay. I think he's pretty good. He's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. I would say Jerry Rice. He's the best since Jerry Rice.
Best since Jerry Rice, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, that's pretty damn. That's damn good.
That's the greatest of all time.
Hey,
I kind of went with Banks a little bit there with the Randy Moss because I think Randy Moss was an extreme matchup problem. And the one thing that Randy Moss did that Calvin Johnson does is he wins those 50-50 balls. Quarterback doesn't have to make a perfect throw.
his wingspan is so great that he makes quarterbacks look a lot better. So I'll go with you with Randy Moss.
You know how I'm really big into fantasy. I don't remember a wide receiver being so coveted as the number one fantasy football drafted wide receiver ever, and I've been playing since 1988, than Calvin Johnson. Let me just throw that in.
Okay. Well, you're the fantasy guru, so you would know these things.
Here we go. Last but not least, speaking of wide receivers, in the two Monday Night Football games that our own Victor Cruz has played in, he's done extremely well. 14 catches, 261 yards, and two touchdowns in road games on Monday Night Football. Your question is, what is the best or most memorable primetime performance you've ever seen or, of course, with you two gentlemen, been a part of? A minute on the clock. Go.
Well, unfortunately, it was the debut of Rinaldo Nehemiah for the 49ers. He came out of nowhere, and he just lit us up. We didn't know what hit us.
I have to go with Earl Campbell. The games that he played on Monday night, you know, just from a linebacker standpoint, you really didn't want to be in his range. You did not want to be in Isaiah Robertson, where Earl is going to run up your chest, so everybody across the league is going to see it and remember it. But, you know, I just remember, when you look at Monday Night Football, if you're going to pick one person who stood out, for me it would be Earl Campbell.
Is it Monday night only?
No, it's not Monday night. It's prime time.
The greatest performance in prime time? Well, I guess since the Super Bowl now airs in prime time, I have to say Super Bowl 42, when the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots as the most memorable overall performance. You looking for an individual, though?
For individual?
How about Brett Favre after his father passed away and he came
Brett
on that
Favre
Monday night?
Great.
So we agree on that.
Okay.
It was very emotional. I felt like every touchdown pass he threw, I was like sobbing. I watched it with Kleenex. Anyway, great job. Week one, we're back at it. I love it, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, that's called The Blitz. Anita will join us each and every week to tee us up with some fascinating questions and get our guys' expert opinions. We're going to take a timeout when we come back here on Giants First and 10. One of the new faces and a guy who's going to play a very important role for the Giants in the running game, Rashad Jennings, will join us as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Lions on Monday Night Football. The Giants were very active in the offseason. And as we put item number 6 up on the board, we take a look at one of the new faces for the New York Giants, Rashad Jennings, a Renaissance man.
I'm Rashad Jennings, running back with the New York Giants. I come down here because you get full treatment from training. Everything's tailored to the individual, by their position, by their weight. There's a lot of different guys that come down here from different teams. You get to get away, you get to train with each other. I always tell people there's a huge difference between working out and training. You know, you can work out by yourself, but you got to train with a group of guys. So it's a good motivation factor.
Six years ago, me and Maurice Jones-Drew was training here. Together, we was living with each other, and we had to find a nice barber. They said this is the spot to come to. Kind of been coming here ever since. Coming from Jacksonville for 4 years, being in Oakland for one, transitioning to New York. The Giants has done nothing but fit my expectations, and I'm planning on to continue to represent the blue in the way they want to. All right, let's keep this day going.
Growing up, I was considered a dork and a nerd, and nothing has changed. And so, since I have some free time on my hands, I'm going to come in here to the Museum of Discovery and Science so I can continue to learn and also spend some time with some kids. A lightning look for a ground, which I'm assimilating a cloud.
2, 1.
How amazing is that to be able to swim and run around like it ain't nothing? You know what, these otters look pretty cool. I'm gonna go see if I can feed a few.
This is Marlin.
Hey, Marlin.
He's our oldest otter. He's 10 years old. You wanna feed him?
Yeah, I'll feed him a few. That's cute. All right, my friends. We'll see you next time. So, Giants fans, it was a pleasure to take you around South Florida where I train at during the off season. You got to see me run physically, how I get in shape. You got to see me learn mentally. So I hope you guys enjoyed yourself. You know where to hear me on Twitter and Facebook at Rashad Jennings, and you know where to find me at MetLife Stadium.
Hanging with Rashad in the offseason, and he joins us now in studio as the Giants get set for that season opener in Detroit on Monday night. And where'd the nerd thing come from?
Nerd, you know, since I was a little kid, I've always been intrigued to learning. So, you know, I used to have glasses, these red rim glasses. I had this little pot belly and asthma. I tell the story a lot, but that's kind of where the nerd and the dork kind of came into play. But, you know, I'm just intrigued to learning, kind of an autodidact.
Rashad, you're here in a new environment. You've been, this is your third team. And how does this environment, in terms of teammates, compare with some of the other teams that you've been with?
Yeah, this atmosphere is amazing. You know, I've liked everywhere I've been, all my stops on the way thus far. But it's something about being a Giant and being a part of this franchise. Mm-hmm. Being a part of a franchise who knows how to win the championship, who has the recipe and been there and done that several times. And then also, you know, the guys here, you know, they love to work hard. I actually trained with a few guys in Miami during the offseason to actually play on this team. So we kind of built that chemistry there as well. So I've done nothing but love it here.
You're the epitome of success story in the NFL. Seventh round pick. You didn't go to a major university in terms of, you know, football programs, but you really worked your way to the top in terms of you know, being a number one running back. I mean, how has that kind of humility affected your approach to the game?
It's kept it the same. Nothing's been given to me since I was a little kid. You know, I rode the bench in high school. You know, I had to work really hard in college. I was predominantly a backup, drafted with that intention. So, you know, I appreciate all those kind of hurdles I had to overcome because I've learned along the way. And I never take anything for granted. I stay inside humility because this game could be taken from you at the blink of an eye. You know, so because I wasn't the kid who got out of bed with the most talent every day, because I wasn't the kid that got out of bed and was the fastest, you know, I had to work and I had to learn. And because of that, it encompasses how I focus at the game.
And let's talk a little bit about that focus, because you often talk about a running back being the quarterback's best friend because he has to be receiver, offensive lineman, runner, eyes, ears, feet. Talk about how that has been kind of the thing that's made you valuable within offenses.
So, you know, with that being said, something I always try to be is a complete back. You know, you kind of hit it on the head, quarterback friendly. It's somebody who can third and one, get the yardage, fourth and goal, get the yardage. If it's first down, get the yardage. If it's third and long and we got to protect his blind side, knowing how to protect him. You know, knowing where to fit in the triangles, understanding the timing of the quarterback, even if he needs to throw the ball away, how to turn around and make sure he doesn't get intentional grounding. It's a lot that you have to do as a complete back. Protect like a lineman. You got to catch the ball like a receiver. You got to be smart as a quarterback. And you got to run hard like a running back.
What are you looking forward to the most going into this challenge against the Lions on Monday night?
The challenge, you know, is within ourselves. It's a great team. We know that. They got a stout defensive front, linebackers that make physical plays, and a secondary that could cover. It's a complete team. So, you know, I'm excited to get out there with our group and show what we can do. Monday Night Football under the lights, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. Yeah. So I'm excited to get out there with my teammates and show what we can do.
Rashad, we appreciate a couple minutes. Welcome to the Giants, and thanks for joining us here on the show.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rashad. Right.
That's Giants running back Rashad Jennings. Let's take a look at the programming coming up throughout the course of this week throughout MSG and My 9. Giants first and 10 Friday nights at 6 p.m. on MSG. Saturday, Giant Access Blue on My 9 at 11 p.m. Sunday, start your day with Giants Chronicles at 10 a.m. on MSG featuring Brandon Jacobs this week. Giants postgame live immediately following the game. And, of course, on Wednesdays, it's Giants Press Conference Live and Giants Rewind. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the show, you don't want to miss it, because Pat Hanlon makes his season debut in Giants Online. As we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 as we get you set for the Giants and Lions on Monday night. Time for our online segment. I'm joined by Senior VP of Communications, Pat Hanlon. We've got Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and Art Stapleton of The Record. All right, Mr. Hanlon, are we ready to go for the season? Is this team ready?
This is a celebration of the longest offseason and training camp in the history of the National Football League. Under the new CBA.
Yeah, and with five preseason games.
It has been endless. The media season is over. We can actually start playing games to count.
That's it. Monday night it gets underway. So it's time to put item number 7 up on the board as we take a look at the new Giants offense. And, Paul, what's your take on it?
He loves it.
Three words. Work in progress. We've heard that for weeks and weeks and weeks. For very often during the preseason, it looked like a work that with very little progress. But look, it's the preseason. You got to. Just the other day, I'm looking at this preseason stats. I said, rip them up. I don't care about them anymore. Although they were pretty ugly.
They were. I have two more words for you. Growing pains. Mm. And I think, you know, when you talk about children with growing pains, you hope that it takes not as much time as maybe this offense needs to get going and start showing things that you feel good about. I think everything that's happened in the training camp and preseason is a product of what Pat said. It's way too long. Five games. We're all of a sudden analyzing every play.
Overanalyzing.
Paralysis by analysis.
Analyzing play calling in the preseason,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Let me ask you something. What offense and what defense of any of the 32 teams in this league? Now, granted, we have a new offensive system. What offense and what defense in this league isn't a work in progress?
No.
Well, the Eagles look
what do you mean? No.
Look.
Nobody is going to be
nobody
as
cares
good
about,
as they can be.
Nobody cares
in week
about
one.
The 5-0. We understand that. Nobody cares about the preseason.
Who brought up 5-0?
No, I'm just saying your team has had trouble getting first downs, completing passes, basic things. And Eli is concerned about it. The coach is concerned about
Everybody's
it.
Everybody's going to be concerned
so
about
that's
it
the point.
Until you start playing games that count
you can't,
and you start producing. Let me ask you something.
What?
Last year,
yeah, a lot of questions.
Offensively, right? What didn't we do? We didn't run the football, right?
Right.
In the preseason, what did we do? We ran the football.
Better.
Offensively,
yeah.
Last year, what else did we do?
Turnovers.
Yeah. Preseason, what did we do?
Well, you did get a little.
We didn't turn the ball.
You did
up.
Get a little fortunate on some of those turnovers.
But we'll take good fortune.
Of
That's
course.
Okay. We're not going to apologize for that.
I think if you look at this team, the one spot.
Man, I can't wait till we talk about a real game, huh?
We're getting there.
If you look at the one spot on this team that is a true upgrade that no one can argue, it is the running back position. I mean, they started nine different guys in the offensive backfield when you consider three different fullbacks. Now it's the Rashad Jennings show, and from what he brings, it's not only his running ability, but it's his pass blocking, his ability to catch passes out of the backfield. So if I'm the Giants, I'm hanging my hat on Rashad Jennings, and what he brings to the table is going to be an upgrade.
All right, time to put item number 8 up on the board. We're going to take a look at a couple position groups. Offensive line is obviously an area that is a work in progress.
Yeah.
And then wide receiver, Tom Coughlin. Well, everyone was talking about the offensive line during training camp. Coach Coughlin kept throwing out there, I want to see if these guys are as good as everyone says they are. Are they going to win outside? And to me, one of the key things in this offense is, what does Reuben Randall do growing as a player?
Bingo. Tom Coughlin said, where are the playmakers? Who are the playmakers? It might not be the system. It might be, are there players good enough to play in this system? Victor Cruz is a proven commodity. Reuben Randall had a pretty good year last year.
Yes.
A lot of miscommunication with Eli. I was not impressed with his work this summer. More miscommunication. He has to take a huge leap forward. Hakeem Nicks was a great player here before he wasn't. Reuben Randall has to be the next big thing, especially with Odell Beckham on.
Listen,
are we allowed to mention Odell Beckham here?
Well, you can mention
him. Make sure.
He's not playing
but,
yet.
But
not
it's
playing.
A major factor that he's not on the field for this wide receiver group. But I will also say that in Ben McAdoo's first conference call with the media here after he got the job, he said his offense, the offense of the Giants going forward, would adapt to personnel. They have to prove in this first week that they're adapting to the personnel that they have on the field. And it speaks to what Paul said. You need to know what wide receivers you have, what your offensive line can do. And I think that adaptation, when Eli and Tom Coughlin and Ben McAdoo sit down, that's going to be a huge key for week one.
And let's remind everybody, you haven't seen the Giants offense yet, okay? Nobody showed
their
hand.
It's a work in progress.
And nobody showed their hand in the
preseason. You have a first-year coordinator who's never game-planned before this, right?
He hasn't put anything out there.
He's not been a part of the game plan.
He hasn't put in his own game plan.
Plus, Tom Coughlin
has something to do with offense.
Well, for this entire fan base, this entire franchise, the media involvement, it's a leap of faith. It was a leap of faith for Tom Coughlin to hire Ben McAdoo, someone he hadn't previously worked with. It's a leap of faith that this offense is going to show something when the lights come on Monday night in Detroit.
All right, we are out of time. All set.
Good.
Prediction.
I don't think the Giants. I think the work in progress needs more progress. I like the Lions.
The 27-21 Lions.
There you go. All right, you ready?
We're 5 minutes closer to kickoff.
That's it. Great. All right. We're out of time for this segment, Giants Online. Still to come, though, when we come back, Carl Banks takes you to the coach's tape with strategy as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG after this.
Obviously, to be the head coach of the New York Giants is a lifetime dream.
It's the captain for life. He gets to do that.
Pretty good. He's pretty damn good.
A minute on the clock. Discuss.
Well, okay. You're the fantasy guru.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
Would know these things.
This is a celebration of the longest offseason and training camp in the history of the National Football League.
And that was the Geico recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, time to put item number 9 up on the board. Let's dial into the X's and O's and go to the coaches' tape, strategy, and Carl Banks.
Thanks. Now, one of the areas that the Giants will definitely have to key on is Reggie Bush. It means gap control. All of the players on the backside of a play will have to maintain what I call gap integrity. Now, I'm going to show this play. It starts in one direction, but it ends in another. He takes it all the way back across the formation. Wide receiver gets a key block on the outside, creates a natural seam, and Reggie Bush is gone for long yardage. Now, let's take a close-up look at it, and you'll see where the players over-pursue. Key man, last line of defense, it's right there, the safety who comes up in the box late. But you'll see that linemen will have to stay in their gaps. Linebackers cannot over-pursue. In particular, this linebacker here, he has to keep enough leverage on the ball so that if it changes directions, he can change direction with it. Now, when the Lions are running the ball effectively, you've got to keep an eye on Calvin Johnson on the outside. And normally, he can make a big play deep down the field. Let's take a look here and see where the safety comes up short in playing this ball. You got a single high safety here, and you'll see he breaks. He runs himself right out of the middle of the field. Again, you have a wide receiver who's a very dominant wide receiver. The final key I'd like to go over is how this offensive line with all the new faces can protect. And the key here is when you have a double team on a guy like Ndamukong Suh, you've got to make sure that that double team is executed flawlessly. You'll see him here just splitting a double team and getting a sack for safety. You've got a guard. I'll freeze it right here. You've got a guard and the center. Both guys were responsible for him, but he breaks through and he gets the safety. So communication is very key up front, especially when you have new offensive linemen playing together. All right, Bob, back to you.
And strategy with Carl Banks brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. All right, we're just about wrapping up today's show, but we have a new feature this year on Giants First and 10. It's called the Big Blue Challenge. And here's what we're going to do. Each and every week, I'll ask my co-hosts a question about the game, and they need to write down who they think will be, in this case, this week, the impact player of the game for the Giants. And I'm going to be the judge and the jury. We're going to keep a running season total to see how close my guys can get. All right, guys, you ready for this challenge?
Yeah. I think so.
You ready? All right, so we're going to go with the impact player of the game. I mean, who you guys think is going to have the biggest impact of the game? You guys have written down your answers. Harry, are you, now once you put it in, it's final. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the Big Blue Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
Big Blue Challenge Cup. All right, Harry, put it in there. Put it in there. Next week we're going to judge it. Banksy, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, you're in. Roman, come on, you got to make the long
from
distance.
From downtown.
Got it with a little assist. This is now sealed.
Okay.
We're going to keep a running tally throughout the course of the year. As we wrap up the show here today, what is it like? How do you feel, Harry, when you play that first game of the year? Because they've been through a hard preseason, but now it's time to do it for real when it counts.
It's about excitement. That opening game, you know, you're moving at a much higher speed than the exhibition season. And that really is what football is all about. You know, you're just flying around out on the football field, and it's all for real. Then everything counts, and you really have to pick up your game, and you're playing for 60 minutes. And, you know, it's the excitement of it. I went through 13 opening weekends, and they all were very exciting.
Were you excited even deep in your career?
Oh, absolutely. It is like the moment you wait for, the one where the actual lights come on and the games count. But it's also, you get excited about also making the first adjustment in the game, too. Whether something goes well or not so well, that first series, you want to get that out of the way so that you can make the adjustments and try to win the game.
Yeah, for me as an offensive lineman, on the road, opening day was always tough because you don't want to jump off sides. You don't want third and two to become third and seven. So you want to be as efficient as possible. You want to get through those first two series. Then it settles down to be a football game.
What about, like, managing your energy? I mean, these guys don't play close to the amount of snaps that you guys played in the preseason. Do you have to manage that, too, and not use all your energy up right away?
Well, it's a Monday night game, so you're going to waste a lot of energy just waiting on the game to begin during the course of the day on Monday. You know, when I played, I just wanted the game to start. Like, when I woke up in the morning, right, I wanted my uniform on, and I just wanted to go out and play. To have to sit around and wait all day, it really is agonizing for the players.
And you are conditioned. It's not like boxing where you can punch yourself out in, you know, a three-minute round. You just gradually get into it, and you manage your energy as the game goes.
Yeah, and thank goodness, as you get older, if you become more of a veteran, you learn how to manage that better than you did when you were a young starter. I'm sure we both have been at both ends of that spectrum as well.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Giants deal with it. It's the Lions and Giants. The good news is, Harry mentioned having to wait all day, at least in this first Monday night game of the year, because they have a doubleheader. This one will start at 7 p.m. Eastern as opposed to the old 9 o'clock. We are out of time. We hope we have gotten you set for the Giants and Lions. Make sure you join us each and every week here on MSG for Giants First and 10. For Harry, Carl, Roman, Anita, Paul Dottino, Pat Hanlon, our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching Giants First and 10 here on MSG.